Any questions from the audience for Bob Lawrence? Rich? Want to take a... They're on the seat there.
Oh.
We're getting you a mic, Dr. Klein.
Hi, Rich Klein. I'm a physician. I've never prescribed LDN. And all the speakers have talked about minor, very manageable side effects. I'm ignorant. So can you tell me what the minor, very manageable side effects of LDN are?
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, this is a topic that I've considered quite deeply, in fact, and with the range of side effects that were presented to me by patients. I've actually created an information sheet which lists side effects far greater than was initially implied by Dr. Bihari. The only side effects that I first read about when I saw LDN on the internet was initial sleep disturbance and perhaps some strange dreams. Now, this certainly occurred fairly commonly, but there are numerous other problems that may be related to... I've put them in groups, in fact, in the information sheet I have available. I've got a few copies with me later, if you'd like a copy. I've considered side effects of possibly increasing endorphins. Now, one fairly common side effect that people mention is constipation. Now, I consider this is possibly related to increased endorphin levels. I don't know whether Dr. Gluck would agree with that. What would you say, Dr. Gluck?
I'm the recipient of a flow of comments from the LDN Yahoo group. I have to keep on going through them every day, sort of a commitment we have. And I must say that here in the States, that's an extremely rare comment that comes through. So it's not, in my experience, a common side effect.
Well, I've certainly found this to be so. And if Dr. Gluck agrees, I've always considered that if we know from experience with opiates that if you take opiates like morphine or codeine, you will get constipation and perhaps nausea. And these are two of the side effects that I've considered possibly related to increased endorphin levels. There are also numerous side effects possibly related to previous use of opiate drugs. Side effects such as the normal effects we expect from opiate withdrawal, which is obviously immediate under treatment with naltrexone. These would obviously include nausea, vomiting, increased levels of pain, stiffness, increased levels of spasm.
Excuse me, let me explain. Dr. Lawrence here, I just want to make clear to you what you're hearing. He's not saying that taking low-dose naltrexone causes this. He's saying if you take low-dose naltrexone while you've habitually been on narcotics, if I understand you correctly,
yes,
then
correct.
It'll force you into withdrawal. And that's one of the cautions we put up on the website. If you're a regular taker of narcotics, that's a major contraindication unless you wean off of the narcotics well before you ever start the LDN.
Yeah, unfortunately, many people that, despite instructions, precise instructions to avoid opiates, many people will simply not tell you that they're on opiates. And when you put them on naltrexone, obviously all these symptoms and problems begin to occur. Now, these are obviously not side effects of naltrexone, but they are withdrawal effects of the opiates. There are a few other side effects that, as I say, are listed in the information sheet. I can distribute these later to save time.
While we're on the, let me just finish this area of the negative aspects. There are other cautions that we list on the website. Two that come to mind, in fact, the only two that come to mind. One is we don't recommend that people take it during pregnancy. Even though there is no evidence that it harms, we have to remember that the opioid receptors are present in all animal phyla going all the way back. They're ancient. They go back to bacteria. And this has to do with growth of tissues and so forth. So that sort of hypothetical linkage suggests don't use it during pregnancy, thinking that perhaps it would affect fetal growth. Until research is done. I know that in Bihari's experience, he's told me, and he may have others, of at least two cases of women who he was treating for HIV/AIDS who insisted on continuing with their low-dose naltrexone during a pregnancy, and there was no apparent problem with their pregnancy. The other issue that has surfaced, and we decided to add to the website, just again, theoretically, but probably true, those people who've had organ transplants and must be on chronic immunosuppressants, it seemed inadvisable then to take an immune upregulator like low-dose naltrexone. So we put that as a contraindication.
Microphone.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. You have questions back there? You want to? No.
Dr. Lawrence, would you know if low-dose naltrexone or ultra-low-dose naltrexone would help the side effects of opiates or maintenance, like buprenorphine, affecting the libido?
I have no experience of that.
You have no experience of that?
I'm sorry,
that.
I really couldn't say. My experience of LDN is predominantly with MS, with a few cases of cancer.
Okay. There's nothing done with ultra-low-dose naltrexone.
Obviously, you know, as far as opiates are concerned, you know, the main treatment for opiate addiction is high-dose naltrexone, which I don't think low-dose naltrexone would be appropriate at all because the effects of LDN is so brief, so transient. It would have no more than temporary effect in blocking the effects of opiates. I don't think it would be appropriate for LDN in treating opiate addiction or opiate withdrawal.
You know, well,
with Dr. Gluck's experience.
There was a published piece within the past few years suggesting that an ultra low dose of naltrexone given along with narcotics seem to, what should we turn off, Joel?
I don't know.
ultra low dose seem to mitigate certain side effects from the narcotics that were taken. That was a strange observation, but it was reported, and I would keep on waiting to see further in the literature about that.
There was a question here.
Hi, I'm Robert Lester. I had a question kind of for both, for both of you. Dr. Lawrence, it's been attributed to you on the internet that you've said that from time to time one should take a break from LDN due to an accommodation effect or something like that. And I guess I would ask you maybe to elaborate on that and speculate if you can as to whether that would apply to conditions other than MS. And Dr. Gluck, I would ask you if Dr. Bihari has found this in his studies of LDN.
If I may answer first. In fact, this was a speculative opinion of mine when I started using LDN. And in fact, I found the effects are quite the opposite to addiction. In those people that have, in my experience, in those people that have used LDN for 2 or 3 years, their sensitivity to LDN seems to increase, so they need progressively lower doses. Now, with the normal mechanism with addiction is that you need progressively higher doses. So, in fact, you know, what I surmised in the beginning seems to be quite wrong. So I would be more inclined now to agree with Dr. Bihari's opinion, initial opinion, that LDN is non-addictive. So, I found that you need forever lower doses. In fact, when I started using LDN, I started using 4.5, and then I dropped to 3 milligrams, and now I occasionally take, you know, to gain the same effect, I take just 2 milligrams. And I found this in other people as well. People start on a relatively high dose. Well, I start as a routine, as an introductory dose, I use invariably 3 milligrams, because people seem to be able to accept and to adapt to the treatment far more readily with minimal trauma, minimal sort of side effects at the beginning. And I start initially with 3 milligrams, and then if they have a modest response to 3 milligrams, I try 4.5. And the limiting factor, of course, is increasing levels of muscle spasm and stiffness. And so once we establish their upper limit, then we start dropping down again. I usually withdraw, drop back down to 3 milligrams if they find 4.5 unacceptable. But in many of those using 3 milligrams, they subsequently develop stiffness at that dose. And so I drop down, I'm able to drop down to 2 milligrams. And it's this these findings that have indicated to me that the LDN appears to have no addictive quality at all. Does that explain?
I think so.
Right.
So, it doesn't sound like it's necessary to take a break. Sorry. It doesn't sound like it's necessary to take a break from it from time to time. Is
no,
that?
I probably need to update my information sheet to include that. So I would agree that you really don't need to take a break anymore. In fact, I've dropped down gradually. Initially, I started with the suggestion that you take a break of maybe a week. And that was dreadful because, you know, people were simply, all the symptoms of the MS were re-emerging during that week's break. And then I dropped it down to 3 days, then 2 days. And now I'm only advising if you take a break at all, just take one day off. And I use that generally as a reassurance that if you miss a dose, if you forget a dose, it's not a problem. It will not cause you any long-term side effect or long-term increase in symptoms of the MS. And so, you know, this idea of taking a break, I've reversed my opinion completely.
Thanks, Bob. Yes, the rationale for breaks was something that Bernie Bihari never incorporated. He had the sense that when you take low-dose naltrexone, you're taking a drug that's active in your system for perhaps 3 or 4 hours. I mean, you take a break every day when you take low-dose naltrexone because the rest of the day, it's just not there. It's not blocking. It's a pure opioid antagonist. It has no agonist activity whatsoever. So the one drug in the world that it will not work with is a narcotic because it's going to block that narcotic. Any other drug can be taken as well. Last sentence is that Bernie takes the position from his practice experience that anybody with muscle spasms with MS ought to start at 3 milligrams, ought to stay on 3 milligrams. Others start at 4.5, and if they're prolonged, uncomfortable for one reason or another, he'll drop them back progressively. Yeah.
We can't take any more questions. We're out of time.
No. Thank you very much.